UBC Radio CITR FM 101.9 with Mr. Bill Leeb in Frontline Assembly, a track called Digital Tension Dementia. Before that, from Belgium, a 40-minute track or so from Distorted Nudes, as opposed to Distorted News. Distorted News right now, Frontline, and then we begin the Bepi Crespan Presents radio program. CITR-FM 101.9.
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Fridays from 2 to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bepi Crespan Presents radio show.
It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format.
Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut-up collage, and general Crespin weirdness.
Bepi Crespin Presents, Fridays at 2 p.m. on CITR-FM 101.9.
Streaming at player.citr.ca.
You're listening to Bepi Crespin Presents on CITR.
One, two, three, four.
Oh!
Hey, kids. It's time for the Beppe Crest Band Presents radio program here at UBC Radio CITR FM 101.9. We are streaming live at player.citr.ca. In this next set, on today's program, rather, new music from Toronto's Ceramic TL and Turkish composer İpek Gürgün from Glasgow. Golden Teacher from Berlin. Berlin producer MESH. Next couple songs here, expect material from Marco Monfardini, one half of Schnitt, new DAF, as well as Marco's colleague in Schnitt, Amélie Ducat. We'll be hearing material, new material from her, a track called Gimp, momentarily. This is UBC Radio CITR FM 101.9 and the Beppe Crest Band Presents radio program.
Within the expanse of the SM wardrobe, there is one outfit that is the most efficacious in signifying this sexual transgression, horror, and risk attachment, namely the Gimp. The Gimp, a tout ensemble of black leather, buckles, zips, and lacing, entirely encasing the body, still seems beyond the now more accepted fetishistic fashions. Beyond the dungeon, it is a hard load to pull off, publicly and editorially. Despite its relative ubiquity as a media image, it is fetish wear that seemingly has no place in the everyday. GIMP's mediation in popular culture invokes a sinister and debasing spectacle. It is the total body coverage of an assumed sexual expression of terror and submission to torture. It is what Gail Rubin calls the leather menace.
The leather menace.
GIMP appears to be antithetical to fashion. Although designers will try and bring out the GIMP if only to generate copy rather than customers, while fetishists consider such outfits as costume, as necessitating sexual fantasy in play, but rarely consider them fashion. Rather, the GIMP is associated with something else, the restriction and deprivation of bondage. The theatre of masters and slaves. Effectuating. Clothing or costume that is directly linked to sexual gratification as an effect of wearing it. The effectuation of a leather hood or GIMP mask ranges from the wearer having no sight or hearing to controlled suffocation, inflation, and intense pressure through inflation. Lunning categorises this type of effectual clothing as the most subversive and frankly the most disturbing category, and garners the most fear and sexual disgust because of a sense of dehumanisation and degradation. The GIMP, like Mapplethorpe's leather mask, often involves total leather or rubber encasement of the body and head, zipped, laced, chained, buckled, most commonly worn by one who submits his or her will to another.
CITR.
SM. Leather. Rubber. Encasement. Zipped. Laced. Chained. Buckled. Hooded. On occasion, the GIMP mask is also worn by a master who metes out punishment as a fake hooded executioner. Unlike the majority of fetish clothing that circulates without scandal or threat, GIMPs still retain a potency in popular culture, more likely to suggest and embody horrific qualities than sexy or fashionable ones, hence their ubiquity in the horror genre. skimp is expressly connotative of extreme bondage, suffering, torture, and sexual slavery, deprivation and debasement. Even terrorists and serial killers are invoked by the GIMP mask. It is these latter attributes that have made the GIMP's obscenity so appealing to filmmakers. The GIMP's raiment still retains a sense of depravity and in some cases personifies evil. The GIMP crosses a boundary of taste and acceptability that has waned in other forms of fetish fashion and attire. It is an object that retains disturbing and provocative qualities as a symbolic exercise of social risk. It is the GIMP mask that seemingly holds the most power to mean something. In terms of dominance, the GIMP mask often functions to conceal identity and enable the fantasy role of domination by the master. Commonly, the master's mask is more flexible or loose, often with the lower part of the mask removed or the mouth and eye parts fully open and unzipped, as one needs to be able to see and issue commands and abuse. The mask is used as a device or symbol of submission and effectuation. It is most likely tightly laced and zipped, often experienced as an object that functions to deny the privilege of identity or action through different levels of sensory deprivation, as highly constricted identity, faceless, orifice, and featureless. The submissive GIMP mask heightens the fantasy of helplessness, feelings of debasement, and being at the mercy of a dominant top. Masks empower us to divulge our hidden, true selves or secret thoughts, exposing inhibitions or personality traits that we ordinarily contain or feel unable to express. We even wear masks to become anonymous, enjoying the pleasure of not being recognised. The protection of anonymity gives us the protection to behave in ways we otherwise might not, to act aggressively or to break rules. It is the transformative power of the mask, eroticising secrecy and disclosure as an act of power, that SM and the articulations of SM imagery in popular culture rely upon. The notion of hiding something about ourselves, the mask being a garment that advertises that it has something to hide, enabling an acting out of fantasies of domination and submission, reversing the relations of power one might have socially or publicly, as is typical of SM.
CITR. We'll be right back.
UBC Radio CITR FM 101.9. You are listening to Marco Monfardini and a track of his called Detect. Marco is in Schnitt along with Amelie Ducau, who provided the piece GIMP just a few moments ago. DAF in that set as well. And again, up momentarily, MESH, Golden Teacher, Ceramic TL, and Ipek Gorgon. We are streaming live at player.citr.ca. This is the Beppe Crespan Presents radio program on CITR.
Hunger, thirst, and disease will follow a bomb attack. We can help control these conditions by preparing a home shelter and by being informed. That's why this public service recording was made, to help you survive. Under certain conditions, a person can live without food for 2 weeks if he has water. Medical authorities tell us that the psychological factor is worse than not eating. It's the fear that kills faster than starvation itself. But it's wiser and far more comforting to provide shelter, food, water, and sanitary conveniences if we hope to live after a bomb falls. Let's take a look at the family-type shelters. These have been devised by experts, Stanford Research Institute, Army Signal Corps, and Naval Radiation Laboratory. They've been tested against atomic weapons at the vast Nevada test site. There's the above-ground double wall shelter. Expensive, but capable of withstanding blast as well as fallout in most cases. There's the basement concrete block shelter, if your basement's big enough for it. The underground reinforced concrete shelter can be built as a basement within a new house, or it can be buried in the backyard. There's the pre-shaped metal arch shelter, a half dome of corrugated iron culvert covered with earth, or the reinforced concrete pipe shelter set on end below ground. Depending on family size and requirements, they range in cost from $200 to $1,500. Before you build, consult a contractor and check your local building laws. Radiation which drifts down or falls out of the mushroom cloud marking the explosion of a nuclear weapon has great powers of penetration, like an arrow piercing an apple. 2 feet of concrete or 3 feet of earth will provide the protection necessary against fallout. Your shelter should provide 10 square feet of floor space per person, and it must be provided with filtered ventilation. A hand-operated blower is essential for underground shelters. Sleeping accommodations can be either bunk beds that fold up or hammocks, which can be taken down when not in use. Electric current probably will be unavailable, whereas continuous low-level lighting can be provided by means of a 4-cell hotshot battery wired to a flashlight bulb. Have spare batteries. And have a flashlight or Coleman lantern when brighter light is needed. You'll need a battery-powered radio with an outside antenna to pick up civil defense instructions. for the period immediately following an attack, all Conelrad stations will be operating at reduced power. And don't forget those extra batteries. You'll need lots of food and supplies, first aid and sanitation equipment. You'll be told about these on the other side of this record. And there's much valuable information provided in the folders within this album. Read them and keep them. Your life may depend on them. Meanwhile, let's go back and summarize some of the essential facts you'll need to know to survive a nuclear attack. First, learn the warning signals. The alert signal is a steady blast on a siren or fire horn of 3 to 5 minutes duration. This is how it sounds. The take cover signal is a wailing tone or a series of short blasts of 3 minutes duration. Second, tune your radio to the Conelrad stations, either 640 or 1240 kilocycles. Listen carefully to the instructions. Your life depends on how well you follow them. Do not use the telephone. Third, assemble your family. If your children are at school, they'll be cared for. Or if there's sufficient time, they'll be sent home. People who are at work will either go home or to a shelter provided for them. Fourth, know how to store and purify water. Tightly capped jars of water will stay palatable for about 3 months. Replace the water regularly. Canned water also is available. Fifth, know what foods to store and how to prepare them. Your shelter's provisions should emphasize high concentration of food value rather than volume. It should preserve well, and it should be easy to prepare. Foods canned in metal or glass will stay in good condition for 6 or more months if kept in a dry, cool place. Use small cans. You'll have no refrigerator to store leftover food for another meal. You'll need a canned heat stove. Have plenty of fuel for it. Sixth, know how to dispose of human wastes. Seventh, know how to decontaminate. And eighth, make sure that some member of the family knows the fundamentals of first aid and have a first aid kit in the shelter. Be alert. Stay alert. Then your chances of living longer are multiplied 1,000-fold. Turn this record over and learn why a shelter program may save your life.
Listening to Beppe Crestman Presents on CITR.
UBC Radio CITR FM 101.9. You've been listening to the new MESH release, a couple tracks from MESH. Right now, two from Golden Teacher's No Luscious Life release, Diop, followed by Shatter, and then a collaboration between Ceramic TL from Toronto and Ipek Gorgon from Istanbul. We'll be hearing some material from them. Espen J. Jorgensen from the Killer Robots soundtrack is up shortly, as well as from Leeds, 100-Year-Old Man. This is UBC Radio CITR FM 101.9. Thank you.
I'm Pat Burns, live on CITR 101.9 FM.
You're listening to Beppe Crestman Presents on CITR.
From Leeds, UK, 100-year-old man, and the title track to their three-song Ray EP. This is UBC Radio CITR FM 101.9.
Yeah.
CITR. CITR. CITR.
You are listening to UBC Radio CITR FM 101.9. We are streaming at player.citr.ca. Three now from the Unexplained Sounds music groups: Dur Untash, Dark Experimental Music from Iran compilation, one of my favorites, one of my favorite releases from the last part of this year. Been playing a lot of it, as anyone who has paid attention and listened into the program has possibly made note of. Three now from Dur Untash, and then we will be rolling right into the Nardwar, the Human Serviette radio program. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, I'm Pat Burns, live on CITR 101.9 FM.
You're listening to Beppe Crestman Presents on CITR.